And how's it going, everybody? This is Tyler Dunn here with Bob McGinn for another off-season Packers podcast at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel here at McGinn headquarters. How are you doing today, Bob?
Good, until you cut that off so short, Ty.
Isn't that a good song?
I want to hear some more alt rock.
Yeah, the Black Keys. You know what? I think when it's my turn in the rotation, we're going all Black Keys throughout the offseason. Every song is a hit. Just
all right.
One of the best. One of the best. Are you familiar?
A little bit.
A little bit? Okay.
Yeah.
Did you hear who's coming to the Meyer Theater?
No, I have not.
Besides Trampled by Turtle, Buffalo's own The Goo Goo Dolls are coming to Green Bay.
You like them?
Yeah, they're good. They're one of those 90s bands that still resonates. Good sound. How's everything going with you?
Good. You missed the Beatles special Sunday night, huh? What, you watch 2 seconds of that?
I gave it maybe a solid 4 or 5 seconds.
And
flipped it.
On you went.
I don't know. I guess I just can't relate to the Beatles. I never bought into the craze, although I'm only 26 years old. So.
Well, my mom couldn't either, you know. She said they'd never last.
Were you a big Beatles guy growing up?
You know what? They were the soundtrack of my high school years, you know, the late 60s. I mean, they totally were, and they broke up, I think, the same month I graduated from high school.
Huh.
When I started buying albums in college, you know, and got my first stereo.
Albums? Are we talking records?
LPs. Records, right.
Okay.
Right. I didn't buy any Beatles just because I'd heard them so much on AM radio is what it was. There was no FM radio. So, no, I really didn't, but I love them, of course, yeah.
Okay. Was it a pretty good special?
Yeah, it was.
It was good. Did you go back and watch the Grammys that you recorded?
Yeah, I did.
You did?
Yay
or nay?
Pat and I, we learn a lot about music from that, you know? I mean, you see what's kind of current and things I'm missing, and so it was kind of fun.
Yeah, I thought it was a pretty weak year,
though. Did you?
Well, I mean, I was kind of poking fun last week, but if Macklemore's getting all those awards, and I mean, Daft Punk's okay, but I don't know. If that's the best music we have going right now, I think it's pretty weak. Year before, it was all Black Keys and Mumford & Sons. So.
I miss that.
Big letdown.
You like that. Kacey Musgraves, she was interesting.
Okay.
Country singer. I didn't know much about her. So,
Taylor Swift, you a big Taylor Swift fan?
I think she's good. I like her.
She is. She catches a lot of flack. Well, I wouldn't want to date her. You end up in a song, but she's a very attractive voice. Okay, let's talk football.
All right, let's go.
All right, well, as promised, we're going to get into kind of Bob's season grades, look back at the offense today, break down those players, look back at his grades, the what, the why, and the how behind them. And before we do that, though, we're going to hit on some news topics. Huge news in the NFL and I guess really in national news. Michael Sam, the Missouri defensive end, announced that he is gay and he could become the first openly gay active pro player. I talked to his college coach at Missouri, and Bob talked to some people around the NFL. We'll talk about Michael Sam, the football player, and really what he could bring to a team there. JerMichael Finley caught up with his agent, Blake Bratz. We can get into that a little bit. His chances of playing again, and if he does play again, if it's going to be in Green Bay. And, kind of getting into the pre-combine series, position by position, talking to college coaches there. Not a heck of a lot of news, although, of course, Green Bay, they hired some assistant coaches, shuffled the deck from within. We can touch on that. So I guess let's start there, Bob.
Okay.
You were there. You talked to some of these coaches. Out of all the moving and shaking here, did anything surprise you? Did any of these moves, additions, shuffling around, did any of it surprise you?
No, not really. You know, the special teams didn't play well, and Chad Morton became a scapegoat. You got to look at it like that.
Right.
Just from my observations on those 4 years, I think he was Sean Slocum's assistant. I thought I was impressed with Morton, but again, you have no idea what's going on behind closed doors, so let's take that with a grain of salt. So Morton's out, and he's replaced by Ron Zook, former head coach at Illinois and Florida. I dealt with him when he was a special teams coach at the Steelers from 96 to 98. He's a real straightforward, blunt guy, and that's the way he came across in his little press gathering here the other day. So, I mean, he's a pretty highly qualified assistant special teams coach.
Safe to say that he comes in to help with the coverage units. I mean, the kick return, kickoff units, punt return. I mean, that's...
I think just everything. Some new ideas. I think McCarthy's looking for that. Another veteran eye. And who knows where this thing goes in the future, you know, at coaching that position. But it's an interesting hire. It certainly is. There's a lot of young, energy kind of guys around who have had special teams experience. And instead he goes with a veteran guy who hasn't coached special teams in, 15 years?
So what's the benefit of bringing Zook into that kind of position?
Experience, I guess. But again, he has not done it in 15 years. So McCarthy knows the guy. I don't really know what to make of the hire, personally. What do you think?
I really don't know. Yeah. I guess something had to change. Although, with all of these changes, and we can talk about all these coaches all we want, at some point it does come down to the players and personnel, too. And that remains to be seen if changes are made there at certain spots. But they had to do something there on special teams. Part of it had to be... I mean, the injuries, and when you have some low-round picks, undrafted guys out there, that probably affected the return units, too. It just was not as solid. A lot of leakage, as they say. All right, so down the board.
Well, one more thing on special teams, and I know I pointed this out in that season-ending column, and I guess I didn't phrase it real well because some people were confused. But, you know, Bill Walsh, during his years, he really gave short shrift to special teams. I talked to some assistant coaches who worked with him, personnel guys, and he just wasn't big into special teams, you know? Now, Mike McCarthy's been here 8 years, and his special teams have not been good overall. They've had way too many penalties, and that doesn't figure into the Goslin-Dallas rankings. So I don't know. I mean, we talk about improvement on special teams. The head coach probably has to look inside himself as well in terms of emphasis, focus, direction, time spent on it. All these things, because 8 years is a pretty good sample size, and it hasn't been real good in Green Bay.
Interesting. Yeah, but Sean Slocum stays. I mean, he could have been the one that was the sacrificial lamb, but he stays. Were you surprised about that at all?
No, I wasn't. No.
Guess on the other side of the token, Mason Crosby did turn his career around after after the worst season of his career. He might have had one of his best. So. Yeah, we'll see what happens if more coaches helps or not. Remains to be seen. Now, Alex Van Pelt, he was the running backs coach here. He's now the quarterbacks coach. Not a big surprise. I mean, the report's out there. And so I guess for Aaron Rodgers, it's somebody who played the position, who was a quarterback, who's had that position before. What can he show, what can he give Aaron Rodgers that maybe Rodgers hasn't had in the past? I mean, how do you challenge Aaron Rodgers if you're Alex Van Pelt?
Van Pelt's got a strong personality, you know. I mean, he speaks openly to the media. I would think he would speak 10 times as openly to Rodgers. Not that Ben McAdoo didn't and Tom Clemens didn't. So, I don't know. It's just these are all good coaches here, and
right.
I think, in that department. It doesn't really make a whole lot of difference. They're good, and Rodgers is good.
Well, I mean, it probably helps that he was around an up-tempo offense as a player himself with Jim Kelly. I mean, they wanted to speed it up on these past 2 years. Maybe he helps with that, gives him some tips, some advice on how to keep the pace moving.
Mm-hmm.
And for the backups, you know, it was interesting. I remember talking to Rob Johnson, who coached Scott Tolzien in the off seasons, and when Tolzien kind of had to make a decision when he was let go by San Francisco, he had a few options. And Rob Johnson kind of recommended Green Bay because he knew Alex Van Pelt was there and he had played with him. He was actually in Rob Johnson's wedding, so he knows him pretty well. And so now, you know, that's somebody that Van Pelt's probably going to have to help develop and mold into a pro. Going to be really interesting there at quarterback, what Green Bay does. I mean, I imagine they want to see what Tolzien can do with a full offseason. Showed some good things. Matt Flynn, who knows? Maybe they draft somebody too. Flip to the other side of the ball, Winston Moss is now the linebackers coach, was the inside linebackers coach. Scott McCurley is an assistant. You know, what do you make of that? I mean, did you think that they would just promote McCurley to outside linebackers? And what can Winston Moss do as the linebackers coach at large?
So McCarthy likes the idea of having all the linebackers in the same room during all their meetings, you know, day after day. Oh, that makes some sense, right? Maybe you could collaborate, be more cohesive in your coverages and your blitz packages. I see that. Scott McCurley's a guy who's been there 7 years, I believe. At the Super Bowl, I went up to a quality control coach of the Seahawks, Robert Saleh, S-A-L-E-H. He's a tight end at Northern Michigan, so I had some ties from the UP there with him. And I know Sale is a real smart guy. And he was brought into the NFL by Dom Capers in Houston. And he was a quality control guy under Capers. And I said, well, are you going to, you trying to get involved in this Green Bay job? And he said, well, you know, no, I mean, I'm in the middle of, you know, trying to win a Super Bowl here now. But he said, you know, he said, they got a quality control coach guy there, you know, who's been there 7 years. And he said, I'd like to see him get a shot. Interesting. And he says, I don't really know a lot about Scott McCurley, but, you know, I'd like to see him get a shot. It was interesting. 3 days after the Super Bowl, Sala got hired at Jacksonville as linebacker coach. His full-time position job. When Mark Duffner, another former Packer linebacker coach, went to Miami, I heard the reason was that Jacksonville is not part of this pension plan for assistant coaches. Hmm. Some teams opted out of that, whereas Miami is. So Duffner's probably in his mid-50s, and he wanted to continue on with the pension. So I don't know. There's a lot of factors going on. But so McCurley's the assistant linebacker coach. He did some work on the field under Kevin Green. He played inside backer at Pitt. So we'll see. We'll see what he offers really on the field, you know.
Right. Yeah, we'll find out.
Yep.
And before we move on, Sam Gash is the running backs coach. Had that position with Detroit for multiple years. Obviously was a longtime fullback himself. I don't know, he's a smash mouth guy, and now he's going to be coaching Eddie Lacy, who's about as smash mouth as they get. Read into anything there with that connection, that marriage in the backfield?
No, not really. Van Pelt knows him, you know, and Van Pelt played with him. Van Pelt called him. He was in Cleveland interviewing for the running back job there when he had already interviewed in Green Bay, and then McCarthy called him when he was in Cleveland, offered him the job, and he took it. Hard to believe he turned down the Browns, huh?
Stable,
can you imagine
stable
the Cleveland
organization
Browns?
There? Cleveland sports. I mean, look at the Cavs this year. I know you're not an NBA guy, but they're a complete wreck too. Just a total mess.
So they let Banner and Lombardi hire the new coach, and then they dump these guys. It's pretty much amazing. And then they don't interview any other GM. They just give it to Ray Farmer, a fairly young guy who's fairly well thought of. But wouldn't you have a lot better chances? Of course, with Jimmy Haslam and the knowledge he has of the NFL, which is probably minimal, he probably couldn't interview people properly anyway. But wouldn't you go and interview 4 or 5 GMs rather than just give it to somebody on your staff? This is the way the NFL was in the 50s and 60s. Some teams just lacked any kind of sophistication. They had no chance to win, you know. And you think in the NFL, I always think today, now all 32 are sophisticated and have a lot of money, which they do, but there are still some teams that just cannot win. How can the Browns win? And they just can't win with that owner and just the way they're doing things.
Right.
It's an impossibility.
It is.
The poor city. And that city would have the Green Bay. Of anyone, that would be the Green Bay kind of fervor if they ever started winning. It'd be just like the Packers.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Will it ever happen? I mean, wow.
The mistake by the lake.
He hires a guy, Lombardi, right off of TV. I mean, he had been in the – his reputation is not good throughout the NFL at his previous stops. Hires him off NFL Network. Joe Banner was a political infighter with the Eagles. Just amazing. Wow.
Man, it is that was the news of the day that kind of came out of nowhere than they expected.
It sure did, huh?
All right. Okay, so let's get into Michael Sam.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so were you – I guess it was a matter of time before the NFL had its first openly gay player or prospect in this case. What was your reaction when this news broke, you know, on ESPN and New York Times kind of simultaneous there Sunday night?
Stunned. I didn't know a whole lot about Sam at that time as a player or anything about the guy. Stunned. I mean, my first thought was, geez, he's just going to hurt his draft standing. It's going to cost him some money, you know. And most players don't want to do that.
Right.
But he did it. So, yeah, I was stunned.
I mean, we're in the locker room, but I can't really speak to the locker room dynamic and if it will be a quote-unquote distraction or make a difference wherever he is. I don't know if it will or will not. There's been a lot said on the record by people, a lot said off the record by people. Remains to be seen. But, you know, for the sake of this podcast, we'll just kind of stick to the football. And, Yeah, I talked to his position coach, Craig Kulikowski, and he's coached a lot of really good defensive linemen there at Missouri. Some one-dimensional pass rushers, other guys who kind of did it all. Just kind of looking down at the list here. Alton Smith, Ziggy Hood, Sheldon Richardson, all first-round picks. Some mid-rounders like Brian Smith and Stryker Sulak. And as far as one-dimensional pass rushers go, I mean, he said that, you know, that, quote, other guys we've had drafted have gone in the fourth round. I see him going higher than that. He said he did it at the SEC level, which is about as close to pros as you can get. But he did admit, I mean, for Sam to excel in the NFL, I mean, you're looking at a 6'2", 260-pound defensive end. He's going to have to transition to linebacker in a 3-4. I mean, that would probably be how he fits into an NFL defense. I mean, you can shed more light on that. And the coach said himself, quote, it's going to be tough. He's going to have to learn. I don't think it's going to be an automatic translation. It didn't sound like they were too happy down at the Senior Bowl about that, though I wasn't down there watching any of it. I feel like there's a smear campaign going on with the poor guy. Now, you talk to people around the league. What do they say about Michael Sam, the pro NFL prospect?
I just spoke with, I watched a lot of the Senior Bowl stuff this week, some practices and game. And then I talked to two people in the last 24 hours. He's 6'1 and a half, Ty. 6'1 and 5/8. He weighed 249 in the last spring, and he's 260 at the Senior Bowl. Scored 10 on the Wonderlic, which is low. He's got good arm length, 33 and a quarter. He's got small hands at 9 and an eighth. Just in watching him, he does not look like a fit for a 3-4. He just does not seem to have athletic ability, and what I saw and what these guys said, you know, in terms of dropping and playing in space, that doesn't really seem. Some guys just can't do it, and like the coach told you, it'd be a tough transition, not automatic. It's certainly not going to be automatic. So he's a 4-3 DE at 6'1.5.
So you think that has to be his position? I mean,
He's got to play in a 4-3
at that size.
Can he be a inside rusher in a 4-3 on passing downs, a la Mike Daniels? One guy said, absolutely not, too small. He ran 4.76 last spring at 249. Now he's 260, so we'll see what he runs at the combine. Jack it up to 4.82, perhaps. It's not real good for a sawed-off defensive end. He played small in the Senior Bowl. He was engulfed at the point.
Right, I was down there. I mean, the drills, he didn't move well in space, which is potential position for him. I don't know. I mean, how does he fit in then? I mean, what would be his best case scenario? Is it?
He got a sack in the Senior Bowl. He beat this guy from North Dakota, Turner. All right. So one of these scouts thinks he's a fourth round pick, and another guy thinks he's a late pick, a 6 or a 7. He was named He was named Defensive Player of the Year by the media. For the AP team and the SEC, right?
Right.
And he was co-defensive player as selected by the 14 head coaches in the SEC. So I went through it. I wrote down 21 names of other defensive players from the SEC that are in this draft. And I went through name by name with a guy. Who would you take, Sam or this player?
With Scout?
Yeah. And this guy said, based on an NFL prospect, he would take 18 of these defensive players from the SEC over Sam, and he would take Sam over 3. And then he said, you forgot some guys.
Wow.
And he mentioned 2 more right off the top, which makes it 20 defensive players better in the SEC. And there's probably a few more that I missed that he just didn't bring up. So he had some sacks his senior year, all right, in the best conference in football. There's no question about it. Does it translate to the NFL? I don't know. This is aside from anything about his personal life.
Right.
Is the personal life going to hurt him in the draft? You've got to think it is. Now, people can make all the opinions they want from outside who have never set foot in an NFL locker room or never covered a team closely like we have. But we know that's a different world in there. Mm-hmm. It's an isolated, insulated world. And every general manager, not only are media around the world and his agents going to say he's defensive player of the year in the SEC, you're going to keep hearing that. I've heard it 20 times already, bing, bing, bing. That's going to make it really hard on teams because he's, what did I just say? He's the 20th or 25th best defensive player in the SEC based on NFL standards, NFL, what they want. And then you have this other aspect, which it's a different world in there, Tyler. And these people are just trying to win and trying to use their money in the right way. And then you got to think, too, you draft this player and it doesn't work, and then you got to cut him. What's your reaction then?
Right.
From outside? This is a tough one, and it's not going to be easy for these NFL teams.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to ask you, too. I mean, you draft Michael Sam. You give him that opportunity. You give him that chance.
Yep.
There's a good chance that you realize that he doesn't fit into what you want to do. if that team cuts Michael Sam, would you think there'd be a lot of backlash?
You would have to think that, yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of different angles to look at this. I mean, you can imagine the media attention. Gosh, we were at the Combine last year, and remember Manti Te'o when he had his press conference and the amount of people that were there? It was unbelievable.
Yes.
I can't imagine what it would be like for Michael Sam, and then when he goes to a team, there's going to be a lot of media attention. Good or bad, I don't know. There's just going to be a lot of it.
Right.
It's going to be interesting. You know, I can remember a conversation I had with one general manager at the Senior Bowl last year. And he said, we were talking about Manti Te'o, and he kind of went down a path and said, well, and then you wonder if the NFL is ready for an openly gay player or a gay player. Not necessarily about Te'o, but remember there was a lot of gray area with that whole story. And, I mean, this is a GM saying that. So you do wonder, I guess teams are thinking about it. GMs aren't really sure. Maybe it's absolutely nothing. And what these coaches and GMs are saying on the record that if a guy can play, we bring him in, no problem. Bada bing, bada boom. I don't know. We'll just have to wait and see. Mike McCarthy had some comments on that when they introduced the coaches. Take him at his word.
I don't really know, Tyler. You know, I mean, press conferences are not my biggest thing. You know, when you got 30 reporters jammed around you, I don't know. But when it gets into that third day, if he doesn't get it taken in the first three rounds and it gets into that third day, it's going to be a lot of pressure from the league office on getting this player
drafted. Yeah, I mean, is Roger Goodell going to be putting the pressure on some teams, getting the heat going?
They got to see him work out, you know. They got to interview the heck out of this guy. There was some hesitancy in his play. I've seen that. Maybe not the quickest guy to react. He played well. I mean, he's, you know, he plays with some intensity. He was a productive college player, but it's got to fit to this NFL thing. And at 6'1" and a half, whatever he's going to be, 255, he has to get away from these left tackles and right tackles who are all 6'6", you know, and they're all 315. It's a tough job unless you're Elvis Dumervil or somebody. They're very rare people can play defensive end and pressure the passer. He's not a speed guy. He was 4.76 at 249. He's not going to whip around the corner. He's going to have to win some inside against these huge men. He's going to have to win with bull rush. And he's going to have to be able to hold up at the point of attack because I don't see him as an outside backer in a 3-4. That'll be determined at the combine. He'll run all those drills. It's a tough one because a lot of people now, the casual fan, is going to think this guy, they think this guy's better than he is. They think he's better than he is because of the sack total and the award from the SEC, the coaches, and the media. They think he's better than the majority of the NFL sees him as. I'll bet anything on that. And so that puts these teams in a real predicament. This is apart from the off-the-field thing. That's apart from that, and that's not going to help them. Teams are going to weigh what that means to their locker room, what that means to their organization. They're going to have to weigh it with their owner, their GM, and their head coach, and assistants, and community, the player programs guys, and all those guys. They all have to come up to that individual decision. It's a tough one.
It is. I mean, I think somebody gives him a chance, though. I mean, that the fact that he was productive in the SEC, had three sack games, made some big plays, did it again. What, he had a sack against Jake Matthews, I think, the Texas A&M tackle, top five pick.
Really? Okay.
I think he gets a chance somewhere based on that. Then it gets interesting.
Yep.
So we'll see.
Okay.
All right, well, let's move on to one more topic before we get into the grades. JerMichael Finley,
yep,
caught up with his agent, and they're optimistic, Bob. I mean, they're hopeful that this guy is going to be cleared relatively soon. All right. In case you missed it, basically Joseph Maroon, he's a neurosurgeon for the Pittsburgh Steelers. He performed the surgery on Finley's bruised spine. He informed Finley and Bratz that there's a, quote, 99.9% chance that fusion will fully heal. And how long does it take for that to heal? Well, that varies person to person, but he was hopeful it was more on the four-week range of things. So when they go back and they scan it relatively soon before free agency, they're hoping to see that fusion fully healed, at which point you would have one person with an NFL team, Maroon, Pittsburgh Steelers, clearing JerMichael Finley. That doesn't mean the Steelers have cleared Finley, but it is, this is a very credible doctor, neurosurgeon, yeah, clearing him. Their hope is that that would, for lack of better terms, kind of open the floodgates, you know, and get this thing going for Finley. Remains to be seen. I mean, this is a very serious injury, but Finley has made no bones about it that he wants to play football again. He's determined to do so. He's been working out. Barrett said that, quote, he wants to play because this is his livelihood. He's worked so hard for his entire life. He's only 26 years old. He isn't ready for the next chapter of his life just yet. If that decision is forced upon him, then he understands. All right, so then the conversation turns to, well, are the Packers a realistic landing spot for the free agent? He's an unrestricted free agent. If he is healthy, if he can play football, if he's cleared, is it in Green Bay? I'm not so sure. I remember this time last year, they were really hesitant in paying Finley's $3 million roster bonus. They did. They kept around that second year of his deal. He played. But it's going to be interesting because you have the medical. They didn't clear Nick Collins, who had the C4 fusion, which is, we believe, is what Finley did have. Didn't clear him. Financially, there could be hurdles. I'd have to think that there's another team out there that's going to pay JerMichael Finley more than Green Bay would, especially with the other free agents they're dealing with. So right now, I think the odds are probably against JerMichael Finley returning to Green Bay. I mean, that's just kind of connecting dots. But he wants to play football again, and if you believe this narrative and where things are going and that Joseph Maroon is this optimistic, we might be seeing JerMichael Finley on a football field again.
Somewhere, huh? Yeah. I wonder what kind of money, huh? You think he'll be in the league next year in 2014? You think someone will sign him?
I think so, because he's still young. He's 26, ascending. He really came on before that injury. I think that team doctors and team neurosurgeons, some are more liberal, some are more conservative. It's a team-by-team thing. I mean, here in Green Bay, Dr. Patrick McKenzie, as everybody knows through the whole collarbone saga with Aaron Rodgers, they're very conservative. They don't want to put a player out there if they believe there's a fraction of danger. Where somebody like, you know, Dr. Joseph Maroon seems a little bit more liberal, be willing to take a chance. I don't know that sliding scale, what it's like across the league. I think, though, the fact that you have a 6'5", 247-pound tight end who can really make things a nightmare for defensive coordinators, somebody's going to take a chance if he's healthy and cleared. And they're going to see that scan relatively soon and find out.
Mm-hmm. And we don't know what the money's going to be. Who knows?
We don't know.
Who knows?
It's going to be interesting for Green Bay because, I mean, Andrew Corliss is a free agent as well. Brandon Bostic, raw, kind of a mini Finley, as we've talked about here. Also, a client, my Bratz, he says that he's progressing well from his season-ending injury. Maybe he figures into it. Maybe he doesn't. Stone runners around. And maybe they draft somebody.
What else? Okay, so if you're an outside team, what other injuries now has Finley had? Let's go through them, Tyler. He had a
torn meniscus.
Yeah.
2010.
And was there a shoulder? No. Isn't that funny? You forget these injuries. I have to look them up on my board all the time.
The meniscus was the big thing. He comes back in 2011, plays the full 16-game season. Admitted he was a little hesitant. Wasn't playing as free-spirited as he wanted to, was a little hesitant that full year removed from the injury. And he's been working back from that. And then he had this, as far as serious injuries go. Right.
And he had the complications from that knee surgery, didn't he?
Right. Yeah. Well, and then, of course, he had the concussion
against
Cincinnati. This year, with who knows? I mean, maybe, Who knows, maybe the two are connected. I really don't know. But if he's healthy and he's in your offense,
good player,
he can change a game. I mean, yes, there's just not tight ends built like JerMichael Finley in the NFL.
Nope.
So I think somebody gives him a chance, knowing what we know.
Yep.
All right, well, let's jump into the offense. We got a little bit of time here. Now, your grades came out right after the season, so it's been a little while, but I think it's good to kind of look back. And your grades, as always, you start with the wide receivers there, and you gave out an A to Jordy Nelson.
He was about the best player on the team. I don't really know. I think there was one other A, but, I mean, he was tremendous, outstanding in every category, right? James Jones was next. He played virtually every game. He played hurt down the stretch. Turns 30 next month. He's still a pretty solid player, isn't he? He's a UFA. Is he back?
You kind of have to view that wide receiver decision-making in three parts. James Jones, Jordy Nelson, Randall Cobb. Two of them got a year left on their deal. James Jones is up right now. Who's going to demand what kind of money? Surely Ted Thompson's trying to piece all that together right now.
He's going to want them. He's going to want them both. Obviously, he's going to try like heck to keep Cobb and Nelson. He's got Boykin, Jared Boykin. I gave him a B minus, same as Jones. Nothing wrong with Boykin. He should get a little bit better.
Yeah,
I'm impressed with everything about the guy.
Boy, and then any perceived lack of burner speed didn't hold him back as much as a lot of people across the league thought it would. I mean, he had one of the slowest 40 times ever for a wide receiver, and boy, he finds a way to get separation. Such a crisp route runner. I mean, you look at that Dallas game, some of those routes he ran in that second half. I mean, some of the best routes run by Green Bay receivers all season. So if they do lose James Jones, it's hard to see Green Bay really pouncing and paying Jones a lot early in free agency. They'll probably let him test the market, see what it is, because Boykin gives him a little bit of leverage there. But say this about Jones. I mean, the guy played through pain last year. That knee injury that he had bothered him all year, played with the broken ribs, ran into his college coach at the Senior Bowl. He told me the story back in college how he had high ankle sprain right before spring ball as a sophomore, played all spring ball with it. Toughness matters. I think Edgar Bennett was trying to make that point at the end of the year that they value that kind of toughness, and it's a good person, a good veteran to have in a locker room.
Fantastic year in the draft at this position.
That's a good point.
Fantastic. Unfortunately, these UFA guys, such as James Jones, the market might be a little depressed because everybody's going to think they can get something in that draft. It's a fantastic year.
It is.
Deep as heck, yep. All right.
It could be the year Green Bay goes back to the draft for a receiver, too.
You never know. They got Cobb and Nelson in the second, yeah. You got Miles White, Kevin Dorsey, Chris Harper.
Anything there you see?
White's got to put on some weight. He's got to, you know, get stronger against the jam and in traffic over the middle. I mean, I think he's got courage and speed. I like that.
Right.
Chris Harper, no idea. No idea at all. And Dorsey, no idea. Right. Played 25 snaps in the preseason, 24, so that's it.
Okay. We talked about the tight ends a bunch just now. So, sure. I mean, did you want to add anything at all?
No. Should we go to the O-line?
Let's do it.
Okay. So Balaga's back. They have to decide where to play him, right? What's the guess? That he goes to right and Bakhtiari stays at left?
I guess that would be my guess right now. I mean, Bakhtiari, for a rookie, really proved himself. Would be tempted just to kind of leave him out there. And in Balaga, you know he can do a right tackle. I don't know why you'd get too cute there if you're Green Bay.
Barclay will be competing certainly for a job against Bakhtiari and Balaga. I mean, Don Barclay's fine. I don't see Marshall Newhouse being re-signed. Do you? I wouldn't think so.
Wouldn't think so.
You got to move on, get better. So that's the tackle. Oh, Sherrod. How many snaps did he play? Six snaps he played from scrimmage. You want to go out on a limb on Derek Sherrod, Ty?
I mean, I hate to fall back on a Justin Harrell comparison, but you're talking about an injury, a guy who's battled injuries early in his career. It just got to a point with Harrell where you kind of were thinking, oh, this might be his last training camp, the last look he gets. I don't know if Sherrod's at that point yet, but they have other tackles. He's going to go into this camp. It will really be his first full offseason, full training camp working at tackle, because when he came in, they worked him at guard. So they're going to give him that fair shot.
Yep.
I think he gets every chance
this
offseason, this summer, to prove himself. But nobody knows if he can play yet because he just hasn't been healthy.
Or hold up. We have no idea about any of this. So we'll see. That'll be interesting, yeah.
It will be. It will be. What about a center? I mean, Evan Dietrich Smith's a free agent, but we know they like J.C. Treader a lot. Smart guy, could be an option at center.
Right.
They haven't re-signed Dietrich Smith to this point. I mean, that's something that they've done with T.J. Lang, with Josh Sitton, with some other players that they have valued as core guys. Do you read into that? Do you read into that as, hey, maybe we want to give J.C. Treader a chance at center?
I mean, I would kind of think they'd re-sign Dietrich Smith if they feel it's financially reasonable, right? I really don't know what the center UFA crop looks like beyond him. I haven't checked on that. We don't know yet till everybody's cut and re-sign and all that stuff before the March 11 start. So it'd be nice to have Treader and Dietrich Smith competing, I guess.
That's true.
Don't know if that'll happen. All right, the guard.
What kind of season did Dietrich Smith have before we move on? You gave him a C-.
Yeah, that was the fifth of the among the five starters. I gave Barkley a C, Dietrich Smith a C-. He was scrappy. He was better than Jeff Saturday. He wasn't as good as Scott Wells. He applies himself well. He struggled in some zone runs with reach blocks. He gave up too many sacks. He gave up 6 sacks. It's the most by a Packer center in 20 years. You know, centers don't usually give it up, and that was too much. Sometimes he got overpowered. So we'll see.
Well, if you're into the off-field stuff, he was a player who seemed to speak up more this year on a team that needed leaders, needed people vocally to kind of step up. I mean, there were various points on the field, in the locker room, where he was that guy. So, I mean, who knows if there's a value in that or not. Okay, running backs.
Tough guy played hurt. I mean, hey.
He did.
He gave him.
Boy, you go back to what game was it? I mean, when he was playing through that injury.
That knee, right?
Right.
And when he went out, obviously the offense fell apart in those two games when Lang had to move inside. So, I mean, hey, there's worse than Dietrich Smith out there playing.
Well, you want to talk about two of the tougher guys on the team. Both are free agents, James Jones and Dietrich Smith. Really pound for pound, two of the tougher guys in that locker room.
All right, you got Langen sitting at guard, right? And the returnee is Lane Taylor as a backup, who we really don't know much about. Just played a snap or two. Saw him in training camp.
Safe to say the guard switch worked out, sitting and Lang. You don't know?
Horse apiece, I guess.
What was that saying?
I mean, they would have been...
Horse apiece?
Yeah, they would have been the same on the other side.
Okay.
I don't see it as a plus or a minus.
Well, I mean, Eddie Lacy ran a lot to the left side, it seemed, toward the end of the year.
He would have run to the right with sitting over there. I don't think it made any difference, but...
Okay, if you say so.
All right, QBs, Ty? All right, how do you see that one? We have a starter, right?
Ted Thompson kind of admitted that it was, quote, possibly bad planning on his part with the backup quarterback. You know, they had the faith in Harrell and Coleman. They bring in Vince Young, Seneca Wallace, 11th hour. Scott Tolzien, I think he could be the number two this year, maybe beyond. I mean, he showed some good things.
He did.
But, I mean, and he came in really late. So I like Tolzien a lot. I think that he's going to get a chance to be the backup quarterback. But they have to have a better plan of attack, and you have to think that they will this year behind Aaron Rodgers, because that's a big reason that they didn't win in November. The reason they didn't win in November.
All right, so Flynn is UFA. Somebody could give him some money again.
You think, is Flynn going to get another chance with the team to, I don't know, to compete to start, to be a top backup? I mean, what do you think is going to happen with him in free agency?
I don't know what the UFA crop looks like. I've tried to
reframe. It's not good. It's not very good, no.
Well, maybe he's got a chance to get some cash then, right?
Wouldn't that be something?
Green Bay could draft one.
I want Matt Flynn's timing. I mean, boy, he knows.
He does.
He sets the records against Detroit, gets the deal in Seattle. And
wins some games late last year.
Wins some games
late.
You know, at the second half comeback, down 26-3. Maybe somebody gives him a chance.
A little bit.
Who knows?
You know, or to be a top backup somewhere.
Yeah.
A no-compete number two job somewhere, yeah.
Yeah. It's got to be the right system. Obviously, something is working for him in Green Bay.
All right, let's go to running back. All right, we got Lacy. He's the man. Then talk about Dewan Harris coming back from, he had a bunch of stuff, a knee injury.
A tweak, Bob.
Richard Patellar.
A tweak.
That tweak. Really? Who said that?
Dewan Harris before.
He called it a tweak?
He called it a tweak.
Yeah.
He would.
The old tweak.
Just a little tweak.
T-W-E-A-K, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, a tweak.
Well, it turned out to be more than a tweak. I mean, yeah. He's coming back from that. We know how much Mike McCarthy and his coaching staff likes Dewan Harris. Do they like him enough to really give him a chance to have a role in this offense?
I think so, don't you?
I would think so. And
yeah.
But they like James Starks, too. Everything I'm hearing is they're in talks. I mean, nothing super substantial as of now, but they'd like him back.
Heck yeah.
He showed some things at the end of the year. So, boy, a lot different than last offseason. Remember when we went down to Indy and Mike McCarthy said he wanted that workhorse back. He wanted somebody to be a three-down back, and there's just so much uncertainty at running back. You know what they have in Eddie Lacy? James Starks is the free agent. Maybe they bring him back. I don't know. What kind of market does James Starks have in March?
The injuries are just going to depress it, you know? I don't see him having a big market. I don't know what the UFA list is like. It's a poor year in the draft.
Right.
That helps James Starks here.
Team's still like, low odometers at running back. Not a lot of injuries at running back.
Yeah, they do. But yeah.
I just kind of look at both parties and just think that he's probably back. I don't know what the number is. Green Bay's got money. We'll see what happens.
So if they got Lacy, Harris, and Starks, then what about Jonathan Franklin? He's back, of course, second year of his four-year deal. Jonathan's coming off, concussions, wasn't it? That put him on IR? Yeah, I think it was concussion. He played one good game against Cincinnati. It was impressive.
Right. Struggled through camp.
Yep.
Broussard, his coach at UCLA, ran into him down at the Senior Bowl. You know, they talked pretty regularly, and he was saying how that summer kind of got to Franklin. Frustrated him, flustered him a little bit. I mean, him and Lacy came in. I mean, Franklin could have been the guy. I mean, we didn't know. And they both had opportunities there through the spring into the summer, but Lacy kind of ran with it. We'll see what they have in Franklin.
John Kuhn is UFA.
They signed a bigger fullback early this offseason. Do you think that they want to go with a more of a mashing, big, bulky fullback? Or do they still value John Kuhn as this savvy veteran, 99% of the time is going to do the right thing, going to make that chip block on Julius Peppers on 4th and 8?
Boy.
He did some good things last year.
It's one of the plays of the year, that blitz pickup. Rodgers loves him. I kind of think he'll be back. I don't know. This other guy could be a camp guy. We have no idea.
Yeah, we don't know.
Liliana or whatever it is, yeah.
Yeah.
Khalil Bell, who knows?
I don't know how many really road grading fullbacks there are in the NFL. I mean, there's not a ton. And then they know what they have in John Kuhn. I can't imagine that there's a team out there ready to unload, a 4 or 5 year contract of Kuhn. I don't know, but it seems another case where maybe it's best for both sides to stick together.
Dan Reeves was a player coach, running back, assistant coach. Maybe Sam Gash should have that role. Put a uniform on him, Ty.
There you go. All right, well, let's get into a few questions here before we sign off. What do you say? Okay. All right, Andrew Hetzel. This isn't really a question, but worth mentioning. He was the one that asked us if we had a nickname for the Packers secondary in light of the Legion of Boom in Seattle.
Yeah,
we didn't really have one.
No.
He came up with the Goose Egg Gang after no safety interceptions. So.
Andrew. Awesome.
Yeah. Okay. Michael Fetterman asks, what do you make of the reported change in philosophy about adding free agents have something to do with not liking their own free agents? This in light of the NFL.com report that said the Packers and Ted Thompson will be spenders in free agency, that they might sign up to 5 free agents that aren't their own. They have a lot of money to spend, $28 million under the cap, but they have a lot of their own free agents. See that as any sort of change in philosophy? Is this team going to go out and?
Well, I wrote that in mid-December that they were going to sign a couple guys, and I certainly think they still are. They got cash. and they've seen what Seattle has done and what San Francisco has done to use players via trade and UFA to beat them a bunch of times. So I think they're going to do it. I definitely do. They got too many holes, mm-hmm. not enough picks. They got to do it, and they will.
You're going to speculate right now, throw a name out there? TJ Ward. I'll do it.
He's a UFA, huh?
Yeah. Safety, Cleveland. Talked about the mess in Cleveland. He's one guy that might fit tough in next guy. To Morgan Burnett.
Good player.
Okay, Jason Perrone, our buddy Jason. He asks, if the Packers are looking for more speed up front on D with the smaller defensive line, what does that mean for inside linebackers A.J. Hawk and Brad Jones?
I don't know. What do you think? I mean, Hawk calls the defense and plays every snap. Sam Barrington's going to get a shot. Lattimore, he could improve. Robert Francois, we'll see if he gets re-signed. Mm-hmm. And they could draft one.
Yeah, we know they like Barrington. I still think they value A.J. Hawk in the middle of the defense for what he does. Brad Jones didn't have that great of a season. I really don't know. I think that they probably, maybe, possibly, potentially draft somebody. Right. How's that?
They could. Yeah, they could.
Okay, let's move on here.
Scroll down that phone, eh, Ty?
All right, Dan Terzinski. Mm-hmm. With the Packers' move to a more athletic defense, who are the realistic first-round targets for Ted Thompson that fit that bill? I don't know. We're going to get down to the combine in Indianapolis next week, get a better look at some of these prospects. As we lead up to the draft, you'll have your series. You'll get to know these guys a little bit more. I think it might start at safety. I mean, if they add somebody in free agency, it becomes less of a need in the draft, obviously. They look to the draft. I like Pryor out of Louisville. I mean, he's a hard hitter. Boy, his coach was telling me that he knocked three players out in three consecutive games. I mean, he's a hitter, but he can move. He's still pretty athletic. He's somebody, though, that I think as we get closer to the draft, he might have that Kenny Vaccaro kind of thing going where we've seen these safeties go a little higher than we initially anticipate. He might be one of those guys. Other than that, defensively, I'm not sure about specific prospects right now. It's still early February. We'll see as we get closer. Is there anybody that catches your eye?
Not really.
Okay. All right, one more. Mike Suzek. Is Ted Thompson really that averse to free agency? Seems like Jeff Saturday, Cedric Benson, and even Anthony Hargrove says otherwise. Well, I mean, let's look at those. I mean, Cedric Benson was picked up during training camp. Anthony Hargrove, they had nothing to lose, basically. I mean, they've done this in the past with a few guys. Mulligan didn't even make the team. Jeff Saturday was a mistake, but they thought they were getting a veteran who'd fit right into a contender. I mean, he has been averse to free agency. It's something he hasn't done.
That's true. I think he will now.
All right. Well, let's end on there into a little Black Keys.
Got to.
We will be back soon. We're both going down to Indianapolis, so we're not sure on the day, the time, but we'll find a way to squeeze it in.
Thanks for listening, gang. She hits the ground.